ब्रह्मज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य अधुनाधुनाशलकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंरूपकदा मायां ददति सावनधिकम् मञ्चकपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैश्च अतीतनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः At the end of chapter 9, Lord Nrisingadev, having heard Prahlad's prayers, offers Prahlad any benediction that he wants. And in this chapter, in the verses in chapter 10, in the verses that we just read yesterday, Prahlad explained that he is not a merchant in any way, that he didn't desire anything from their relationship other than to maintain their relationship as master and servant. He explained that if the Lord wanted to bestow a benediction upon him, he prayed that no material desires would exist within the core of his heart. Because, Prahlad explains, if one has material desires, selfish desires, self-centered desires, then all one's good qualities are vanquished. They in time vanish. Because one can't live with integrity in this world if one is self-centered. It's just a matter of finding out the price that he would sell himself for and his beliefs for. But if one is a devotee of God, if one is a kinshin, an iskinshin, a devotee, one who values nothing for itself in the material world. You could see the material world as the energy of Krishna's, but in and of itself he has no desire to exploit the material world. So such a person who is free from material desires can actually have character and integrity, because there is nothing that can tempt him within the material world, pull him from his full conviction, his full commitment to being a servant of Krishna's. So Prahlad explains this, and he explains that when one does or is able to give up material desires within his mind, then he can possess true wealth and true opulence, similar to that of the Lord's. Not opulence and wealth in terms of something external to ourselves, practically speaking, but our true inheritance, our true natural relationship with Krishna is one of great spiritual opulence and great spiritual wealth. So therefore Prahlad simply offers his obeisances to Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev in four verses will reply to Prahlad. I'll read those verses and we'll read Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Lord Nrisingadev replied, "My dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by money. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruit of activities and worship me. My dear Prahlad, while you're in the material world, this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness, and by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems, and being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. So those are Lord Srinidev's words. Prabhupada orders, in his purport, where Nrsimhadev orders to Prahlad to become the king, because the current king, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, and his son will naturally take over the throne, the kingdom, the rulership over the kingdom. So you, the Lord tells Prahlad, you enjoy being the king. And how long will you remain as such? To the duration of time occupied by a Manu, which is a very long time. There are 14 Manus in the day of Lord Brahma. So very, very, very long time. From Prabhupada's purport, about a third of the way down. Prahlad Maharaj had taken birth in the family of Hiranyakashipu, who was the topmost materialist. And since Prahlad was the bona fide heir of his father, the Supreme Lord allowed him to enjoy the kingdom created by his father for so many years that no materialist could calculate them. A devotee does not have to desire material opulence, but if he's a pure devotee, there is ample opportunity for him to enjoy material happiness also, without personal endeavor. Therefore, everyone is advised to take to devotional service under all circumstances. If one desires material opulence, he can also become a pure devotee, and his desires will be fulfilled. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Akama Sava Kama Va Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Parusha Param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Very powerfully worship the Lord, and that will purify one gradually of all material desires. And then Lord Nrsimhadev explains that while you're in the material world, serving me according to my order in this way as king, you should hear my instructions and the messages that I have spoken, and you should be absorbed in thought of me. So that's what the Lord tells Prahlad at the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord, because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. So Nrsimhadev says at the end of the verse that that comments on, give up all fruitive activities. Give up fruitive activities and worship me. But the only way to maintain that is to hear constantly the instructions and messages of the Lord. And then in the third of the four verses spoken by Lord Nrsimhadev in reply to Prahlad, he says, you will get rid of your pious and impious activities, and then you will, by the potency of time, even though you will live so long, you'll give up your body, and your activities will nevertheless be sung of. Your glories and activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems, and then you'll go back to Godhead. Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Evam praladasya amsena sadhana siddhat tvam nitya siddhat tvam cha narada dijav jikeyam. There are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and the nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed siddha. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly, Narada Muni was the son of a maidservant, And therefore in his next birth he attained perfection, sadhana siddhi, because of having executed devotional service. Yet, he is also a nitya siddha because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kushalena is very important. One should live in the material world very expertly. This is a very nice section. The material world is known as the world of duality because one sometimes has to act impiously and sometimes he has to act piously. Although one doesn't want to act impiously, the world is so fashioned that there is always danger. Padam padam yad vipadam. Thus, even while performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord, so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management of papapunya, pious and impious activities. An exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is jivan mukta. He is liberated even in this life, in the material body. So this is the art of living within this world. Somehow or another, be constantly remembering Krishna. And one does the service that he has to do, but the proper management of one's life is to somehow or another remember Krishna. And that will place one above the good and bad that one naturally meets in this world according to his karma and according to even Krishna's arrangement. And the final verse was the potency of not only Prahlad's position, of even remembering Prahlad and his dealings with Lord Nisringadev, and the prayers of Prahlad becomes free from the reactions of material activities. Prabhupada's purport. Here it is stated that anyone who chants and hears about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj and in relationship with Prahlad's activities, the activities of Nisringadev, gradually becomes free from all the bondage of fruitive activities. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 2:15, second chapter 15 verse, and second chapter 56 verse. Yam hi na vyatante te purusham purushar sava samadukha sukham diram so mrityatyai vakalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Sukeshu anudvignamana sukeshu vigataspriya mitraga bayakrodas ditadir muni uchete. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. A devotee should not be aggrieved in an awkward position, nor should he feel extraordinarily happy in material opulence. This is the way of expert management of material life. Because a devotee knows how to manage expertly, he is called jivan mukta. So, more the topic is coming up here of how to expertly manage our material life. So the first point from the previous verse was that one should always think of Krishna. One should be deep in his Krishna consciousness. And again, just as one deep within the ocean isn't in any way pushed upward or downward or disturbed by the different waves on the surface. So similarly, the waves that bring us upward in material life, the happinesses, or the waves that are the troughs, the downs, the depressions, they don't touch the actual person, the actual soul. If he is beyond his identification with the mind and beyond the identification with the body by being in the identification with Krishna as Krishna's servant, which comes by the process of remembrance of Krishna. So it may not be possible for us to always remember Krishna. That is the position of exalted devotees. We may not be able to actually successfully always remember Krishna, but every single time that we do remember Krishna is something that's very wonderful. So the fact that we can't be perfectly perfect exaltedly perfect, completely perfect in remembrance of Krishna. It shouldn't stop us from making an endeavor to try, in the sense that every little success is actually a great success in remembrance of Krishna. So one can be unaffected by the ups and downs of life, is one who can be free from attachment, fear and anger. He is called Stitadhi Muni. Stitadhir is meditation, his consciousness is stitad, is fixed. So it's fixed on Krishna ultimately. Not aggrieved in awkward position. Tateunakam anupkampam susamikshamana. This is due to my karma, and Krishna is minimizing it. Nor elated when some happy time comes by the arrangement of Krishna and karma. So this Prabhupada calls us the fixedness in Krishna consciousness and deeper Krishna consciousness is the expert way of managing his material life. And then one who does this properly is called Jivan Mukta. And Jivan Mukta means one who is liberated. He's practically speaking not in the material world, although he appears to be in the material world. He's not in the material world because he's not affected. And why is he not affected by the ups and the downs? The karma that comes to him is because he's not trying to enjoy it. And he's not even trying to become free from suffering from it. He's just accepting his relationship with Krishna. So this requires deep Krishna consciousness. So as Rupa Goswami explains in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, defining Jivan Mukta, or the soul who is liberated, although within a material body. Yasya hare dasye kramana manasa gira nikala asatsva su divan mukta sa uchate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within this material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Because of constantly engaging in devotional service in any condition of life, a devotee is free from all material bondage. Bhakti punati man nishta sapakan api sambhavat. Even one born in a family of meat eaters is purified if he engages in devotional service. From the 11th canto, 14th chapter, 21st verse of the Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami cites this verse in logically supporting that anyone who chants about the pure life and activities of Prahlad Maharaj is freed from the reactions of material activities. Now, Lord Nisringa, Prahlad has finished telling Lord Nisringadev his desires. Now Lord Nisringadev has benedicted him. And now Prahlad will speak again. 15 through 17. And then Lord Nisringadev will again reply, 18 through 23. So Prahlad says, O Supreme Lord, because you're so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father at the time of his death had already been purified by your glance upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. Prabhupada's short purport. Although Hiranyakashipu was purified as soon as he came in contact with the Lord's lap and the Lord saw him, Prahlad Maharaj still wanted to hear from the Lord's own mouth that his father had been purified by the Lord's causeless mercy. Prahlad Maharaj offered this prayer to the Lord for the sake of his father. As a Vaishnava son, despite all the inconveniences imposed upon him by his father, he could not forget his father's affection. And then Lord Nisringadev replied, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified, along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified." Prabhupada's purport. The word Trisaptabhi means seven multiplied by three. In one's family, one can count back four or five generations to one's great-grandfather or even one's great-great-grandfather, grandfather's father. But since the Lord mentions 21 forefathers, this indicates that the benediction expands to other families also. Before the present family in which one has taken birth, one must have been born in other families. Thus, when a Vaishnava takes birth in a family, by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only that family, but also the families of his previous births. So Lord Nisringadeva is benedicting. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful, equipoised devotees who are well-behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. Purport by Prabhupada. Wherever exalted devotees stay, not only they and their dynasties, but the entire country is purified. My dear Prahlad, king of the Daityas, because of being attached to devotional service to me, my devotee does not distinguish between lower and higher living entities. In all respects, he is never jealous of anyone. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. How nice, I'll read that again. Because of being attached to devotional service to me, my devotee does not distinguish between lower and higher living entities. In all respects, he is never jealous of anyone. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. Text 22. My dear child, your father has already been purified just by the touch of my body at the time of his death. Nonetheless, the duty of a son is to perform the Shraddha ritualistic ceremony after his father's death so that his father may be promoted to a planetary system where he may become a good citizen and devotee. Prabhupada's purport. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that although Hiranyakashipu was already purified, he had to take birth on a higher planetary system to become a devotee again. Prahlad Maharaj was advised to perform the ritualistic ceremony as a matter of etiquette, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under no circumstances, wants to stop the regulative principles. Madhva Muni also instructs, Madhu Kaitabhav Bhaktyabhava Dorao Bhagavato Mityao Tamaiva Kramadaptao Bhaktyachedyo Harim Yayo. When the demons Madhu and Kaitava were killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their kinsmen also observed the ritualistic ceremony so that these demons could return home back to Godhead. But Nisringadev continues, after performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom, sit upon the throne, and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed on me, without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas. As a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. About halfway through Prabhupada's purport. Because Prahlad, of course, he was a great devotee, so he didn't have any duties to perform. But yet, the Supreme Personality of Godhead nonetheless advised Prahlad Maharaj to follow the regulative principles. For since he was going to be the king, others would follow his example. Thus Lord Nisringadev advised Prahlad Maharaj to engage in his political duties so that people would become the Lord's devotees. Yadyarachirati shrishtas tattari vetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastar anavartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Bhagavad Gita 3:21. One should not be attached to any materialistic activities, but a devotee may perform such activities as an example to show the common man that one should not deviate from the Vedic injunctions. 23, Narada Muni continued, "Thus, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered, Prahlad Maharaj performed the ritualistic ceremonies for his father. O King Yudhisthira, he was then enthroned in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu as directed by the Brahmanas." So Yudhisthira Maharaj is hearing this from Narada Muni. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, and we'll read that in a moment. He's asked Narada Muni a question way back in the first chapter of the seventh canto. And this is and this narration of Yudhisthira Maharaj hearing from Narada Muni is actually a response of Sukadeva Goswami to the question that Maharaj Prickett asked at the end of the, or at the beginning of the seventh canto, after hearing how Vrikashura, Vritrasura, was killed, and how the Lord appeared to take the side of the demigods, Indra, against Vritrasura. He said, "How is it that the Lord has lost his impartiality and taken the side of the demigods against the demons?" Because Savaham Savabhuteshu Namedveshostinapriya, the Lord is impartial. So in response to that question, Sukadeva Goswami tells of a conversation between Narada Muni and Yudhisthira, where Yudhisthira had seen at the Rajasuya ceremony that Krishna had killed Shishupal, cut off his head with his chakra, and Yudhisthira saw that Shishupal's soul merged into the body of Lord Krishna. So he was wondering, how is it possible that this Sayuja Mukti, this incredible, incredibly glorious result, which so many impersonalist yogis, impersonalist tapasis, people practice austerity and jnana yoga for so many years, so many difficult performances, they have a very difficult time merging with the Lord's body, becoming on the spiritual platform, getting free from matter. But yet, this person, Sisupal, he didn't practice anything other than enmity, envy of the Lord, and he was blaspheming Krishna, he hated Krishna, he was jealous of Krishna. So inimical, and yet, how did he get this result? So this pastime, telling of who Sisupal actually was, that in another birth he was a Hiranyakashipu, and how was showing how the Lord is equal to everyone, and although he appears sometimes to be favor one party or another, in actuality everyone is benefited by everything that he does. So there is no partiality on behalf of the Lord. But yet, although it's not emphasized here, yet the Lord favors his devotees. Ye bhajanti tumam bhakya maya teteshu chapya. So in any case, Narada Muni is completing his at this point anyway, he's completing his instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira about the Lord's great equality and his kindness to every living entity. And he explains that Prahlad, as instructed by the Lord, became king, and he was enthroned by the ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmins. Lord Brahma, who was there, he was there and he heard the prayers of Prahlad, and then he came forward. Lord Brahma, surrounded by the other demigods, was bright-faced because the Lord was pleased. Thus he offered prayers to the Lord with transcendental words. So Brahma is speaking now. Lord Brahma said, "O Supreme Lord of all lords, proprietor of the entire universal, benedictor of all living entities, O original person, Adi Purusha, because of our good fortune, you have now killed this sinful demon who is giving trouble to the entire universe. This demon, Hiranyakashipu, received from me the benediction that he would not be killed by any living being within my creation. With this assurance and with strength derived from austerities and mystic power, he became excessively proud and transgressed all the Vedic injunctions. By great fortune, Hiranyakashipu's son Prahlad Maharaj has now been released from death, for although he is a child, he is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. So there's a nice point given by Lord Brahma on how we should, the devotees should think of Lord Nrisimhadev to protect them from fear. Prabhupada's purport. Everyone is sure to die, for no one is excused from the hands of death, which is but a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mrityu Savaharas Chaham. When one becomes a devotee, however, he is not destined to die according to a limited duration of life. Everyone has a limited duration of life, but a devotee's lifetime can be extended by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is able to nullify the results of one's karma. Kamani niradhati kintucha bhakti bhajam. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita. A devotee is not under the laws of karma. Therefore, even a devotee's scheduled death can be avoided by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. God protects the devotee even from the extreme danger of death. So, Brahma has praised the Lord for killing Hiranyakashipu, who was so proud. Why was Hiranyakashipu proud? He had gotten so many benedictions from Lord Brahma. He had his own mystic powers. Actually, he had come from the spiritual world. So he was so powerful. And yet, the Lord replied to Brahma saying, my dear Lord Brahma, O great Lord born from the lotus flower, as it is dangerous to feed milk to a snake, so it is dangerous to give benedictions to demons who are by nature ferocious and jealous. So all this was his pastime, the Lord's pastime. But yet, despite the fact that it's the Lord's pastime, he instructs Lord Brahma, don't do this again. So although nothing happens in this world other than by Krishna's sanction, and in that sense, everything can be said to be a pastime of Krishna. And ultimately, everything is for everyone's benefit. But as the Lord instructed Brahma, I warn you not to give such benedictions to any demons again. Still, within a particular circumstance, we might get instructions that are very good for us, even though nothing happens without Krishna's arrangement and Krishna's plan and Krishna's sanction and blessings. But yet we have things to learn. Things that we shouldn't do, I won't do that again. Or things that we should do that we hadn't done. So we should be looking for Krishna's instructions in all circumstances, even though everything is happening by Krishna's grace. So actually, when someone becomes a devotee after taking initiation, he loses his karma. But he doesn't lose all his karma. Why? Because if we lost all our karma, we wouldn't be alive. The body, because this body is composed of our karma. We're born in a particular place, we have a particular height, breadth, ability, debility. We look in a particular way, we have a particular type of voice, characteristics. This is our karma. If we lost that karma, called Parabdha karma, then we wouldn't be able to make progress in this life. So Krishna, our acharyas have explained that Krishna allows the devotee to keep his Parabdha karma, the karma associated with this specific body, the particular body, for the purpose of perfecting his sadhana and increasing his devotional service. Because unless one comes to a very high stage of devotional service, he will not be able to get out of the material world. So to come to the stage of prema bhakti, bhava bhakti, or prema bhakti, love of God, or the preliminary stage before love of God, exalted stages, where one is under the shelter of the internal energy, to allow us to come to that point, Krishna allows us to keep this parabdha karma. And at this, from that, we should be learning. We should be learning how to proceed in our devotional service and attain high Krishna consciousness, as was described previously, where high or deep, depending upon how we look at it, deep, untouched by the waves of the reactions of the material world, both good and bad, fixed. So now, Narada Muni will continue speaking after Brahma, the Lord spoke to Brahma. O King Yudhisthira, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not visible to an ordinary human being, spoke in this way, instructing Lord Brahma. Then being worshipped by Brahma, the Lord disappeared from that place. Prahlad Maharaj then worshipped and offered prayers to all the demigods, such as Brahma, Shiva, and the Prajapatis, who are all parts of the Lord. Thereafter, along with Sukracharya and other great saints, Lord Brahma, whose seat is on the lotus flower, made Prahlad the king of all the demons and giants in the universe. The king of the giants too. This is the Danavas, the giants. Prabhupada's very short purport. By the grace of Lord Nisringadeva, Prahlad Maharaj became a greater king than his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad's inauguration was performed by Lord Brahma in the presence of other saintly persons and demigods. O King Yudhisthira, after all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, were properly worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj, they offered Prahlad their utmost benedictions and then returned to their respective abodes. Thus the two associates of Lord Vishnu, who had become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the sons of Diti, were both killed. By illusion, they had thought that the Supreme Lord, who was situated in everyone's heart, was their enemy. Prabhupada's short purport. The discourse concerning Lord Nisringadeva and Prahlad Maharaj began when Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada how Sisupal had merged into the body of Krishna. Sisupal and Dantavakra were the same Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyakashipu. Here, Narada Muni is relating how in three different births the associates of Lord Vishnu were killed by Lord Vishnu himself, as described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, how they came to this world after being cursed by the four Kumaras. First they were the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. 36. Being cursed by the Brahmanas, the same two associates took birth again as Kumbhakarna and the ten-headed Ravana. These two Rakshasas were killed by Lord Ramachandra's extraordinary power. Pierced by the arrows of Lord Ramachandra, both Kumbhakarna and Ravana lay on the ground and left their bodies fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord, just as they had in their previous births as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They both took birth again in human society as Shishupal and Dantavakra and continued in the same enmity towards the Lord. So this is the answer to the question. It is they who merged into the body of the Lord in your presence. So back in the first chapter of the seventh canto, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, "It is very wonderful that the demon Shishupal merged into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though extremely envious. This Sahuja Mukti is impossible to attain even by great transcendentalists. How then did the enemy of the Lord attain it? O great sage, we are all eager to know the cause for this mercy of the Lord. I've heard that formerly a king named Vena blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all the Brahmanas consequently obliged him to go to hell. Shishupala also should have been sent to hell. How then did he merge into the Lord's existence?" From the very beginning of his childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Dhammagosha, began blaspheming the Lord, and he continued to be envious of Sri Krishna until death. Similarly, his brother Dantavakra continued the same habit. Although these two men, Shishupal and Dantavakra, repeatedly blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, they were quite healthy. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter the darkest region of hellish life. We are certainly most surprised by this. How is it possible for Shishupal and Dantavakra, in the presence of many exalted persons, to enter very easily into the body of Krishna, whose nature is very difficult to attain? This matter is undoubtedly very wonderful. Indeed, my intelligence has become disturbed, just as the flame of a candle is disturbed by a blowing wind. O Narada Muni, you know everything. Kindly let me know the cause of this wonderful event. So Narada's reply in the first, before explaining this pastime, he says that the power of focusing the mind on Krishna is so great. And because Krishna is all good, if one focuses his mind upon one's mind upon him in enmity or in love, still the result is glorious. And the Shishupal focused upon the Lord in enmity, but he was focusing upon the Lord. So therefore, in the verse that we just read, explaining how Shishupal was so attained this glorious result, it was because they were fully focused upon the Lord. They were fully absorbed in thought of the Lord, as in all their births, as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, killed by the Lord, thinking about him, as Kumbhakarna and Ravana, fully absorbed in the Lord, killed by him, thinking about him, and as Shishupal and Dantavakra, the same thing. And therefore, Shishupal and Dantavakra continued in the same enmity in their third birth towards the Lord. It is they who merged into the body of the Lord in your presence. Prabhupada's purport. Vairanubandena, acting like the Lord's enemy, is also beneficial for the living entity, although we shouldn't take up that particular sampradaya. Kama dvesha bayat sneyad, whether in lusty desire, anger, fear, or envy of the Lord, somehow or other, as recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, tasmat kenap yupayena, one should become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ultimately achieve the goal of returning home back to Godhead. What then is to be said of one who is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover? Not only Shishupal and Dantavakra, but also many, many other big kings who acted as enemies of Krishna attained salvation at the time of death. Because they thought of the Lord, they received spiritual bodies and forms the same as his, just as worms captured by a black drone attain the same type of body as the drone. Purport. The mystery of yogic meditation is explained here. Real yogis always meditate on the form of Vishnu within their hearts. Consequently, at the time of death, they give up their bodies while thinking of the form of Vishnu and thus attain Vishnu Loka, Vaikuntha Loka, where they receive bodily features the same as those of the Lord. From the sixth canto, we have already learned that when the Vishnu Dutas came from Vaikuntha to deliver Ajamil, they looked exactly like Vishnu with four hands and the same features as Vishnu. Therefore, we may conclude that if one practices thinking of Vishnu, and it is fully absorbed in thinking of him at the time of death, one returns home back to Godhead. Even enemies of Krishna who thought of Krishna in fear, bhaya, such as King Kamsa, received bodies in a spiritual identity similar to that of the Lord. Text 40. By devotional service, pure devotees who incessantly think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead receive bodies similar to his. This is known as Sarupya Mukti. Although Shishupal, Dantavakra, and other kings thought of Krishna as an enemy, they also achieved the same result. Prabhupada's purport.
in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in connection with Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, it is explained that a devotee should externally execute his routine devotional service in a regular way, but should always inwardly think of the particular mellow in which he is attracted to the service of the Lord. This constant thought of the Lord makes the devotee eligible to return home back to Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tyaktva deham puna janma naiti mameti. After giving up his body, a devotee does not again receive a material body, but goes back to Godhead and receives a spiritual body resembling those of the Lord's eternal associates whose activities he followed. However, the devotees like to serve the Lord. The Lord, he may constantly think of the Lord's associates, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the Lord's father and mother, his servants, the trees, the land, animals, plants, and water in the Lord's abode. Because of constantly thinking of these features, one acquires a transcendental position. Like Shishupal, Dantavakra, Kamsa, Pondraka, Narakasura, and Salva were all similarly delivered. This is confirmed by Madhvacharya. Pondrake naruke chaiva savikam se charukmini avishtas tu hare bhaktas tad bhaktya harimapire. Pondraka, Narakasura, Sav, and Kamsa are all inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because all these kings constantly thought of him, they achieved the same liberation, Swarupa Mukti. The Jnana Bhakta, the devotee who follows the path of Jnana, also attains the same destination. If even the enemies of the Lord achieve salvation by constantly thinking about the Lord, what is to be said of pure devotees who are always engaged in the Lord's service and who think of nothing but the Lord in every activity? So these verses that Yudhisthira Maharaj is hearing from Narada Muni are really glorifying the quality of somehow or another thinking about Krishna. To such a degree they're glorifying it, not that they're recommending it, but Narada is saying, just to show the potency of thinking of Krishna, that even if one thinks of Krishna in enmity or lust, anger, still the result will be so glorious because Krishna is the focus of that thinking. So what to speak of someone who thinks of Krishna with great love, in the mood of service, pure devotional service. Anyabhidasita sunyam gyanakana anavrita. Anukulena Krishna and Ashilanam favorably. Anukul. So what to speak of a person, how pleased Krishna is with a person who thinks of him with devotion. So Narada will now finish up. And then he'll start something else. Everything you have asked me about how Shishupala and others attained salvation, although they were inimical, has now been explained to you by me. In this narration about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, various expansions or incarnations of the Lord have been described, and the killing of the two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, has also been described. Halfway through the purport, Prabhupada's purport. The Shastras say everywhere that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and that he has innumerable avatars or incarnations. Elsewhere in the Brahma Samhita it is said, Ramadi Muttishukala Niyamena Kishtam, Ramana Shringa Varaha, and many others are consecutive expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After Krishna comes Balaram. After Balaram is Shankarshan. Then Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Narayan, and then the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Gaudakshaya Vishnu, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu. All of them are avatars. One must hear about the avatars. Narrations about such avatars are called avatarakatha, the narrations of Krishna's expansions. Hearing and chanting these narrations is completely pious. Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana. One who hears and chants can become punya, purified of material contamination. Whenever there are references to the avatars, religious principles are established and demons who are against Krishna killed. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world with two aims: to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to kill all the pretenders who falsely present themselves as avatars. The preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement must carry this conviction very carefully within their hearts and kill the demons who in many tactful ways vilify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If we take shelter of Nrisimhadeva and Prahlad Maharaj, it will be easier to kill the demons who are against Krishna and to thus re-establish Krishna's supremacy. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Sayam. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the original Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is our Guru, and Krishna is our worshipable God. As advised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. If we can be successful in getting the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj and also that of Nrisimhadeva, then our Krishna consciousness movement will be extremely successful. The demon Hiranyakashipu had so many ways to try to become God himself. But although Prahlad Maharaj was chastised and threatened in many ways, he rigidly refused to accept his powerful demoniac father as God. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, we should reject all the rascals who pretend to be God. We must accept Krishna and his incarnations and no one else. Narada Muni continues. This narration describes the characteristics of the great and exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj. His staunch devotional service, his perfect knowledge, and his perfect detachment from material contamination. It also describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, has described the transcendental qualities of the Lord and has also described how the various abodes of the demigods and demons, regardless of how materially opulent, are destroyed by the mere direction of the Lord. So all this perfect knowledge, Prahlad's perfect knowledge, perfect detachment, how the Lord is the cause of creation, maintenance, destruction, how everything in the material world is temporary, all this is learned if one understands the Bhagavatam. 45. The principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavata Dharma. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. Prabhupada's purport. Through the principles of religion, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, and Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Lord. When one is well conversant with all these principles, he becomes a devotee and performs Bhagavad Dharma. Prahlad Maharaj, the spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, advised that this Bhagavad Dharma be instructed to students from the very beginning of their education. Komara acharet pragyo dhaman bhagavatani ha. To understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the real purpose of education. Shrinvatam shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. One must simply hear about and describe Lord Vishnu and his various incarnations. This narration concerning Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadeva, therefore, has properly described spiritual transcendental subjects. One who hears and chants this narration about the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is certainly liberated from material bondage without fail. Prahlad Maharaj was the best amongst exalted devotees. Anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Nrisimhadeva surely reaches the spiritual world where there is no anxiety. So that is not the end of the chapter, but that's the end of this, of the wonderful pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadeva. Narada Muni will continue speaking very wonderfully, glorifying Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, as we'll hear tomorrow, we'll tell the story of Maya Danava and Chipparari, Lord Shiva, and how Lord Krishna saved Lord Shiva. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Sri Narasimhadeva ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.